T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm a stickler for the little things, right? The punctuation. If you're on a text thread with me, punctuation. I say stickler. A lot of people would say a-hole.
Yeah, I would go with that one. The where and where. You like to tell people they use the H.
There. Yeah. You know, like all the little things. Alejandro, I heard in your update there that Paul Pierce was wheelchaired off the court.
Correct.
I don't think that's proper English. He was wheeled off the court in a wheelchair, or just wheeled off the court. But I don't think you're wheelchaired off the court.
I think I might be right, but it's just not used.
You think wheelchaired as a verb?
You can verb a wheelchair.
I don't know.
I think you can verb a wheelchair.
I don't know. Text it in, people. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, Kendall Toyota text line.
Humans don't say it.
Right.
It's something that Kawhi Leonard would say, but I might be right.
Speaking of Kawhi Leonard, Alejandro Solana, the guy who told you Paul Pierce was wheelchaired off a court. I don't think it's correct. He had DM'd us video of Kawhi Leonard. That was before the game yesterday. Who was that teammate? Do you know? We don't know.
No idea.
One of his teammates was trying to give him a little dap.
Yeah.
And Kawhi Leonard just stared at his hand.
But they already told the team it's time to take the court. Like, because that's why Kawhi Leonard pointed. Well, you got to text out the video, Solana.
Tweet it out, Solana. What are you on Twitter? Alex Solana?
At Alex M. Solana.
Alex M. Solana, S-O-L-A-N-A, on Twitter. And you'll see this video. It's crazy to me because he stares. He acknowledges that his teammate wants to give him dap, but he refuses to do so, and then just kind of points to him like, hey, let's get out there.
Because the team is going out on the court. It's court time. It's not celebration time right
now.
It's
not a celebration to give someone dap.
Get on the court.
Celebration.
I went back and looked at it 2 or 3 times, and that's when I saw that, hey, like, he was focused. He was focused, and then they said, hey, let's take the court, and everybody started running. The guy still had his hand up. But I actually thought about, to your point, who was
People are texting in. It's Norman Powell.
Norman Powell.
Norman Powell's not a nobody.
Yeah, it is Norman Powell.
He's not a nobody.
Norman Powell.
Bro, he's not a nobody, though.
Norman Powell.
His name is that of a landlord in Boca Raton. I'm with you. If I said to you, who is Norman Powell? He's either the president of my homeowners association or he's on the Toronto Raptors throwing down dunks.
Norman told me I can't paint my mailbox white.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, that's what Norman Powell
does. I got
does.
A letter from Norman Powell. My manatee mailbox is not up to code. Right? You've seen those manatee mailboxes.
I got the big fishing lure.
But Norman Powell's not a nobody.
But he's not. He's not Clay.
He's not
Kyle Lowry. He's not Siakam.
I got you. But Norman Powell is not a nobody. He gets plenty of minutes.
There was time. I've talked about it with Joey Harrington. Where there's the hype man that's too hype for his ability. Like the third string left guard on punt team. Come on, guys. Come on, big dog.
But that's it. Wait a second.
Take it easy, Ed Miles.
No. I got you. No, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. If, you know, in Heat parlance, best energy guy in Heat history, Rony Turioff, right? Right? Solana, you went to all the games.
Eddie House.
I think Rony Turioff was a better cheerleader. Eddie House played some big minutes.
The guy.
Rony Turioff didn't.
But the hype guy that's getting 8 minutes a game, you look funny at him.
Okay,
but look up. No, I don't have a damn computer. I wish I had his damn computer. Look up Norman Powell's minutes per game.
You don't have a computer?
He played.
No, the computer had been for you a week.
What happened? You didn't.
Bro, I'm going raw dog. I don't have no information.
I had no idea that you didn't have a computer.
For a week now. This is just all off the top. I'm freestyling.
Wow. I had no idea. And you're one of the Radio.com sports insiders.
Yes, and I freestyle, baby.
Very exciting announcement today. Our parent company, Entercom, you know, we had Rick Bucher on. He is one of the Entercom Radio.com sports insiders. They announced today Channing Crowder is now a nationwide sports insider. They got to start with a computer, though, you would think, for the insiders.
Put some respect on my name. I've been asking y'all for years. Put some respect my name.
That's the musical version of Roni Turioff. That's the equivalent of Roni Turioff in music. But Norman Powell wasn't doing an energy thing. Dap.
But
he put his fist out, bro. I'm trying to think of, like, for the Miami Hurricanes, if Ray Lewis in the tunnel got everybody together and said, come on, everybody, C-A-N-E-S, Canes,
everyone would do it. Yeah.
But if you know, again,
Norman Powell walks up.
But he didn't ask to do that.
That's what it was.
It was Dap. But Dap, bro, is totally different. Did you tweet
me
out
alone.
Did you tweet out that video, Solana?
I did, @ Alex M. Solana.
Alex M. Solana. You can see the Kawhi video.
I might hurt somebody's feelings now because I know a lot of people, you know, that live down here, support our show, and, you know, thousands of people listen. They are trainers or equipment guys. And when I say equipment guys, I'm not talking about the big-time equipment. There's a dude named Charlie at the Dolphins, been there for about 30 years, and he's the equipment. If you need something, you go to Charlie, he'll get it done. But then he has underlings. They just kind of pick up towels.
But you can't give them Dap?
Clean out your locker.
You couldn't give Charlie's underlings Dap?
You're walking out to a game. You're about to get 350-pound men trying to dig in your chest and tear out your soul. And little Filippo over here that cleans the towels wants to chest bump you.
It's not a chest bump. It's a fist bump.
Chest bump.
No, you're
Filippo.
No.
Set your ass down.
You are mischaracterizing what Norman Powell was doing.
It's Norman Powell.
You are mischaracterizing it.
Kyle Lowry.
You know what it was?
Lowry's that same guy. He says, Kawhi, Big Dog Claw. I don't know his nickname. Big Claw. Baby, there we go, bro. Let's go out here and do this thing tonight. Kawhi daps him up.
Of course.
Norman Powell.
Come on, Kawhi. First of all,
let's go get him.
You're dismissing Norman Powell like he's nothing. Do you
have
Norman Powell's numbers up there, Solana?
I do.
What's his numbers?
He averages 16 minutes a game for his career. This season, he averaged 18 minutes per game, 8 points per game. He played in 6 minutes last night.
Oh, he got six in last night, huh?
Yeah, but last night was a little bit different.
What is he? 8-4-1?
0-8-0.
No, but I'm not talking about
last night, 0-0 last night.
You didn't see their series against Milwaukee?
No.
Did did anyone see Norman Powell against Milwaukee? Anyone?
Yeah. Trash time.
No, it was not.
What are we up by, 15? Norman!
No. Oh,
Norman!
Stop it. This guy's insider.
Hey, coach, get Norman!
This guy's an insider. I mean, this is unbelievable to
this
me.
This is Filippo the towel boy. Time to go on the field, Norman.
If Filippo wants to give you a fist bump,
I got time for that.
Shame on you,
bro,
for not giving a fist bump.
Leonard Davis is trying to reach inside of my sternum and snatch out one of my lungs, and I need to worry about Filippo's fist bump?
You're mischaracterizing Norman Powell. I'm sorry, but you are. Somebody texts in, I'm going to nominate you guys for best sports radio show in the country. You guys are awesome. Thanks for making all of us laugh every single day. What was funny, I thought this was a very serious discussion about Norman Powell and fist bumping.
When's the last time somebody yelled Norman and you got nervous?
Three's Company, because the landlord downstairs, wasn't it Norman? What was Mr. Roper's name in Three's Company? I'm asking Solana. You want to hear a great Solana story? I tweeted this out. Who was the artist that performed yesterday at halftime that you were saying was an icon?
Lil Pump.
That was Lil Pump?
Lil Pump.
Yeah, he's dumb.
He related to Big Papa Pump?
And they don't look alike.
So
they have different meals.
Solana texts us. I tweeted out a screen grab of this. Solana texts us, legend, icon. It's a screenshot of Lil Pump last night at the Oracle Arena. And underneath it, Solana texts us, icon. And then he texts, my generation's Mick Jagger. But he wrote Mick Jagger as if it was a McMuffin. So it was MC capital J-A-G-G-E-R. As if you would go to McDonald's and get a Mick Jagger and some hash browns.
I know that.
I mean, that's just mortifying.
Autocorrect.
No, that's not autocorrect because nobody is stupid enough to program autocorrect to change Mick Jagger to a Mick Jagger.
Are we not having OJ McDuffie on next segment?
Yeah, but what does that have to do with Mick Jagger?
I had texted you McDuffie earlier, so Mick Jagger automatically autocorrected to Mick Jagger.
Wrong.
What's Mick Jagger, MC Jagger, first name? Norman?
Like, you knew that it's Mick Jagger.
Norman
Actually,
McJagger.
I think he thought it was McJagger.
Like Norman McJagger. Like, but honestly, he thought it was the last name.
But Norman Powell is not...
Norman!
Ronnie Turia.
Hey, it's a big fight breaking out. Get Norman!
Somebody texts in, the F is a Lil Pump.
Listen to this dummy.
I have no idea.
And Solana's great because he is super millennial. He thinks it's cool to smoke. I think the kids call it a blunt. We called it marijuana cigarettes when I was a kid. Doesn't he smoke blunts by the gas pump and blow into the...
Oh, is that the dude?
That's the same guy.
I saw that on Instagram. What a moron.
That's so stupid.
That, I mean, you know, I don't want to wish blown up on anyone. Blown up.
I don't think you have to preface that by anything.
I don't want to wish anybody getting blowed up. But, I mean, if you're going to smoke blunts and
puff it
into the gas.
Into the gas, the hole where the gas flies
Like, come
out.
On.
Icon.
What are you doing there?
Generational talent.
And the fumes are flammable. It
I mean,
doesn't have
crazy.
To be the juice of the gas. The
That's
fumes
crazy.
Are crazy.
All right, obviously, you could tell we have a lot of stuff to get to. I mean, they're...
Norman!
No, Mick Jagger! What do you want? A McMuffin? No, a Mick Jagger. Huh? Kind of moron. McDuffie is coming up next. OJ McDuffie, one of the greatest Dolphins receivers. And also, I wanted to talk to him about the Marlins as well. He's kind of our baseball correspondent.
He got drafted.
He played baseball at Penn State. Yeah. He got drafted in MLB. Yeah. Lucky for us, he stuck with football. But we'll talk some Dolphins, and we'll talk some baseball with OJ McDuffie next. Radio.com. What a day. What a day.
Had me a good night. I'm happy.
Yeah, man. You had Toronto. You pegged it. You had Toronto at +4 last night before Clay was announced out, and then it was down to 2.5. I mean, you rode that game out like a professional.
I just felt good. We talked to too many people yesterday. KD's already out. We know that. Clay was questionable. If he comes back, he wasn't 100%.
I didn't bet the game because I liked Golden State, even with all that hoo-ha.
And Looney out. Somebody told us yesterday, Looney was averaging 28 minutes in this series, and he's a big defensive side, and you saw it. Bro, Golden State was so porous on the defensive side of the
Boogie,
ball.
Boogie had a bad game, too. He looked totally different than he did the first two games.
I think Boogie has my little gut.
Well,
you watch Boogie.
He's not cut. He's not...
If I send Boogie some funky Buddha, he will drink it tonight.
Yeah, I would imagine in his cup on the...
We got some beer here. I drink this beer.
Made him sound like your dad. Sound like Randy Crowder.
Anybody over 6'5 is Randy to me.
Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. OJ McDuffie is on the line. As I say, he's one of the greatest receivers in Dolphins history. And as we've mentioned, he played college baseball at Penn State, and he was drafted by the California Angels. It was called the California Angels back then. Now they're are they the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, or are they just the Anaheim Angels now?
Los Angeles Angels.
Of Anaheim.
Maybe.
Don't talk unless you're sure.
Let's get some info from
OJ McDuffie's my baseball correspondent here. So
ask him. Yeah, Solano.
OJ, what are they now, OJ? Are they the Anaheim Angels or the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim?
Man, I don't watch it like that anymore, man. Man, once they didn't sign me, I stopped following them, man. They didn't want me.
They drafted you. Do you ever regret not pursuing a baseball career?
No, I do not. Actually, you know, that's a great question. But I could still be in the minors right now, Hawk. If I could still be 50 years old in the minors if I decided on baseball. And I would have never met you fellas, man. Imagine that.
Yeah, but what if, though, you had had like $120 million guaranteed, nice sunny days. What position did you play?
I played center field. I still would have never met you guys. If I had that, I wouldn't mess with y'all, man.
But, Juice, is there anybody that you played baseball with that made it, that you were, you know what I'm saying, like a name that you kind of compare yourself to back then to end up making it?
Well, you know what? I ended up, when I grew up in Ohio, and we played, I played against Pete Rose Jr. and Ken Griffey Jr. Obviously, Ken Griffey Jr. is the most amazing player probably maybe to come out of Ohio. Pete Rose Jr. didn't have, obviously, the career, any career, nothing close to what his dad had. So we played against those guys when we were 10 through 13 years old, So that's some of the guys. But nobody I played with necessarily had any type of baseball career. Even my high school, there was only a couple of guys that got Division I scholarships in football. So, so I didn't really go against any guys, in the area, that were professional athletes. But I did battle like Desmond Howard and Robert Smith as running backs in Cleveland, Ohio, growing up. Oh. And Elvis Gerbach was a quarterback in the area. So we had that kind of competition only.
Okay, because when I first got in the league, I think I might still been in college. Kwame Brown is from South Georgia, yep, where I got my hunting club up there. I still go up there. So the big talk around town one summer was Kwame Brown is back in town right after he got drafted. So we went over there. They had a pickup game, and Juice, I dropped the step back on him. And for about 3 months, I believed that I should play in the NBA until I saw Kwame's ass play in the NBA. And I said, yeah, maybe I should go play somebody else. Because he doesn't belong in there.
He doesn't belong.
That's a great underrated story from Crowder. He's told that before. Yeah. Where you get out, and Kwame Brown was the real, supposed to be.
He was that dude.
The real deal. Like Michael Jordan, that's part right. of the legacy yeah. of Michael Jordan was Kwame yeah. Brown. But Crowder gets out there on the pickup court and you just schooled him.
I just hit him like I put a little shoulder into his chest and I felt him fold a little bit. And I was like, damn, he's not that strong. So I threw another shoulder and stepped back and dropped one on him. Juice, I was the man. Until I saw him start.
You put that physical game on him.
Yeah, I hit him right in that sternum.
Yeah, right. Make a lot of people fold right there. Make a lot of people fold.
OJ McDuffie is with us. I want to talk Dolphins, but let me ask a quick question about the Marlins. How do you go from, because you played baseball, how do you go from pacing for one of the worst seasons in MLB history to seemingly winning every series that has happened in the last, whatever, month and a half? Like, how do you turn it around like that?
Man, they've been a lot of fun to watch. I watch at least or listen to part of every game that they've been playing, man. I think what happened is the pitching has come around. And when the pitching's there, you got a chance in every game. And the pitching has allowed the hitting to come around. And I tell you what, these guys do the best job I've seen, a bunch of young guys, of thinking opposite. And that's a lot of kids don't think that way. Hit the ball the other way, just putting it in play, and good things happen. And that's what they've been doing. We don't have a ton of home run hitters on the team. So if you're not a home run hitter, you better think hit the ball the other way. And these guys do a great job of it. They get deep in the count. They don't swing a lot of bad pitches, and they give themselves a chance. But as long as you have pitching in any league, at any level, you got a chance of winning baseball games. And that's what's been great for the Marlins so far.
And Juice, I don't know that much about baseball, but like Hawk said, you're the baseball insider. Are you impressed with Mattingly right now? Like, with your knowledge, can you see that a good skipper is making this happen?
Well, you know what, Tanny, it helps, but I also think like guys like Granderson, Prado, you got usually a veteran group of guys on the team that are leaders on that team, help out the young guys. Managers get everybody, they put the lineup together. I don't know how much of a pep talk you get. You've been in locker rooms where, some coaches pep talks, are in one ear and out the other, but a team leader is a guy that really gets you going, gets you fired up. And I think that might be the situation a lot of times with the Marlins. And, of course, Mattingly's, he knows everything in and out about baseball, but if the clubhouse isn't run by some good veterans, then it'd be tough to go out there and perform. I think they've got a good group of veterans in there that are doing the job for them. And these young guys are talented enough. They listen. They're not too hard-headed, and they're going out there and performing.
Somebody texts in, hey, Crowder, can you please, please, please tell the story about the baseball player wide receiver that smoked you in high school? You remember that?
Jeff Francoeur. Bro, you know, he might still be in the
Jeff Francoeur might still be playing. He's not playing anymore, Solana?
He's out. Bro, you know Jeff Francoeur, Juice?
Yes.
Bro,
yes.
He was at McEachern High School, and it was almost like a American Heritage of Atlanta. Like, they just win championships after championships, and he was up there. It was a big college campus, and I was a junior, and I played running back on the JV, and I played corner on varsity. So we're in the playoffs. McEachern was there. They ended up winning the state in baseball and football that year. But Jeff Francoeur was their star. So one of our corners, I don't think he got hurt. I just think he bitched out because Jeff Francoeur was out there. So they said, hey, Crowder, I was a little, you know, freshman. I just came from JV to play in the playoffs. Hey, Crowder, go play corner. I walk out and I see this white boy, and you know how it is, Drew. I see a white dude standing there. I was running about a 4.5 at the time. I said, man, ain't no way in the hell. I'ma choke this dude out. Skinny. You know what I'm saying? Just a little white. Bro, I think he had 200 yards receiving on me. 4 touchdowns, just something crazy. And I was like, damn, this dude's athletic.
You know why?
I followed him through his career because of that game.
Well, it's funny, because I just looked on Wikipedia. His final game was for the Marlins. He played for the Marlins. That's why we got the story, because all of a sudden Jeff Francoeur got signed by the Marlins. And
Jeff Francoeur from Atlanta?
This dude's haunting me down here.
Bro, that's one of the worst games I played in my life. Oh, yeah, I got him. Two? I got number two. Locked down, baby. Shoom.
So you gave an opportunity to get, you know, recruited in both sports then, huh? Because you're you put him on the map as a receiver, too, huh?
I think I got him into Clemson.
He wasn't certain if he wanted to play baseball or football after the game against Crowder.
He said, damn, I can do this.
He's going to be Dion if I was played against him every damn week.
It's actually a fair and funny question. OJ, if you lined up and it was a white cornerback, like, did you ever think that he was going to beat? Did you ever face off against a white cornerback? There weren't very many.
No, well, I played safety. I didn't actually, but I seen some of my boys on the edges get toasted up. You know what I mean? Your bottom line is this. You got to see it on film. Tim, did you do your film study then like you did with the dog?
Bro, listen.
I see it on film. This dude can run, man. He can, right?
Juice, Thursday I was the running back on JV. Then the next day I just jumped up to play corner. Like, I was just out there running, playing ball, baby. And I ran into the Francoeur wall. Bro, he ran past me. All I heard was a whistle. I said, what was that? Where is this guy going?
Where's the white guy I was supposed to cover?
Did he fall down? Did he check his balances? What's going on with him?
But you know what? I'm going to tell you this, though, Hawk, man. That's a misconception a lot of times, man. You know, and these guys take these guys for granted. You look out there and you see a white corner, a white DB, you know, and then you think that, you know, I got this dude. And it's a bad idea, because look at some of the guys that have been successful in the league. I'm going to tell you a dude that tore me up in the NFL with Jason Sehorn with the Giants. You know what I mean? I was like, all right, I got this dude. He knocked the snot out of me one time. I was running a 7 route. You know what I mean? I thought, I'm clean here. I'm clear. Next thing I know, man, I had snot bubbles coming out of my nose. You know what I mean? So, yeah, don't take it for granted, man. Sure.
OJ McDuffie is with us. Let me segue to the Dolphins here quickly. If you had to make a guess right now, who's the starting quarterback for the Dolphins game one regular season?
Fitzpatrick.
He looks that good, yep. And he's just, he should be better than Josh Rosen right now, right?
Right. You know, he's ahead of the game right now. You know, I think more importantly, the talent at this point is knowledge of the game, knowledge of the offense, a command of it. And you know, that's always more important than talent. We've seen guys that are way more talented coming into the leagues, obviously, with a veteran quarterback on the roster, but the knowledge of the offense and the game and the league gives that veteran the starting nod. I know Josh, you know, it's his second year in, but same time, though, I think Fitz is, you know, just one up on it right now in terms of, you know, everything with the offense. But I think Josh is eventually going to be that guy. But right now, if it's not broken with Fitz, why not? Why try to fix it? So I think Fitz is going to be the guy to start it off, and it's going to be perfect for Josh. It's a perfect situation for Josh right now. Coming to Miami, a fresh start, a guy like Fitzpatrick ahead of you, it's a great situation. Very, I mean, the high expectations aren't very high for our team. even though I think they're going to be better than what most people think. I think it's a great situation, but I think Fitz is going to be that guy first. We see what Fitz can do. We don't know if Fitz can do it for 16 games, but I think Fitz is going to win us some games, lose some games, and then Josh will get his opportunity.
And, Drews, how many – because this is an evaluation year. Like, they have to see what Rosen has this year because of the fact that next year you have Fromm, you have Herbert, you have Tua coming out. So they really need to evaluate this quarterback position. From you being, you know, being an amazing receiver, how many games do you need to see Rosen for you to see if he has anything to be a franchise guy? Because, like, I'm with you. Fitzpatrick's going to start. But around game 6 or 8, I need him to slide Rosen in. I need to evaluate for at least 6 to 8 to 10 games, Drews.
Yeah, what if you get to game 6 or 8 and we're 4-2, 5-1 or some crazy number like that?
Right.
What do you do?
You can't pull the plug on him then.
I had to go talk to Brian Flores. Hey, coach, this is why you get the big money.
The best thing for us is, you know, in terms of that, is if we do go into a situation where 2-4, 2-6, 3-5, and then you go ahead and pull the plug. But, you know, if things are going well, then you have a tough evaluation process for the whole organization. And I think – no matter what, it's a good situation because, you know, like I said, Fitz is going to win some games. He's going to win some games, and I think if they get the defense playing well, you can win some ugly games, and then you don't even really know what's going on in terms of your quarterback situation as long as they're not losing games for you. But we do need to see what's going on with Josh before we make the, before the end of next season, because that's a big year for us. Everybody's waiting on 2020 and the 2020 draft, and you know, and the Tua situation, and you know, all these other kids that are coming out. But man, if we hit it, if we hit with Rosen and, you know, having Fitz around, we can go somewhere else in the draft. And I think that's the ideal situation for Dolphins. Not even have to worry about a quarterback in 2020.
OJ McDuffie is with us. If you were a receiver on the roster, you would want Fitzpatrick throwing the ball, right? I mean, that because he zings it around.
Well, you know what? I heard Rosen has a hell of an arm. You know, and that's always as a receiver. You want the ball that's on you. I know Fitz is probably going to throw it more on time and put it in the right places. It might not have as much juice on it, but bottom line, as a receiver, I want the ball on me immediately. You know, so when I turn around, I want it there. I want it with some zip, and it gives DBs and safeties, especially safeties when they come to try and knock my head off, less time to zero in on me. So I think either way, you're in good shape because Fitz is going to make sure it's on time, but Rosen has a rocket for an arm.
And so that's like, for those of us that never played, like Dan Marino, like you would be running your route. That ball was going to be zipped in exactly where you wanted it.
It better be. And that's the whole thing with Danny. You better be where you're supposed to be, too. If you're going to throw it, where you're supposed to be. Otherwise, your ass ain't getting another pass. You know what I mean?
Y'all knew that out of Danny. I've heard that too many times.
Yeah, you better be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, or, you know, you're going to look the other way immediately. You could be primary receiver. And he said, oh, McDuffie, last time I threw it, he was like zigging when I was zagging. I'm going to throw it over here to Urban Fryer. Here's about it.
That's funny. OJ McDuffie is with us. What about this guess? Is Rashad Jones on the Dolphins roster game one?
I hope so. I really do. But the way things have been going, you know, with some of the veterans, if we're still going with the the New England Patriots motto, you know, you get rid of a guy a year early than a year late. You know, I think Rashad has a lot of great football in him, and that might be a move for the Dolphins. But I love Rashad. He's one of my favorite players of all time. And, you know, I hope he is on the roster, and I hope he's there to be able to keep influencing some of these young DBs that we have. So, if my money, I think he's on the roster.
And Drews, because Rashad ended up showing up, you know, this weekend for the mandatory stuff, but he just didn't come to OTAs. I wanted to ask you, because my whole thing is that a 9-year vet, cover four is cover four, man-to-man. You know, we have invert. Like, there ain't only about 12 coverages you can run. How long does it take, in your mind, to learn the playbook? Like, are you having any problem with Rashad Jones not being here for OTAs? Because he can learn the playbook in what? In my mind, 2-3 weeks at the most.
Yeah, only thing about it, man, is like I get it if we were, same regime, same staff, same scheme. I think it's good faith to go in there and show the new guys that you're all in, you're invested in this team, you want to be a part of this team. And, he's got some really good guaranteed money. I think that's a bigger thing that, is, with a new scheme, you don't want to be behind the eight ball and learn it. Ken, it's like when you get hurt, man, getting hurt. You know, guys start playing and getting reps and start showing that they can play, and the next thing you know, you're behind the eight ball. I just think for that reason, it would have been better for him to probably be there because he's got money.
if you're, you know, if it's a different situation where you don't have money, you know, you don't have a really nice contract, then that's different. But I mean, I think I'd want to be there and show that new regime that, you know, I'm all in. I'm buying in on what we're talking about. I can't wait to be a part of this defense that, you know, to shut the Rams down. I mean, that's the only difference. But I get it. You know, everything's about a business. But I wish he would have been there for a lot more than he's been there for.
O.J. McDuffie, one of the best receivers that probably a lot of people listening will ever remember.
Yeah,
we were
hard to do right there.
We were trying to come up yesterday. What were we trying to do yesterday? It was best offensive players for the Miami Dolphins since what?
Since Marino. Yeah.
Best offensive players since Marino. Obviously, you're one of. Although you're kind of in the Marino era, so you're not really. Eligible.
Yeah.
So who'd we come up with? It was Ricky Williams, obviously. Ronnie Brown.
Who was the best? You know, Chris Chambers. CC made a couple Pro Bowls down Marshall. Brandon Marshall made a couple Pro Bowls down here.
There's not a lot of offensive, like, you know,
Jarvis.
Jarvis had gaudy numbers. Yeah. Brian Hartline had a hell of a season.
Yeah.
You said a season. I like that.
Well, I mean, he did. I mean, I thought he was a good receiver, but he had one really good season.
Everybody can't be O.J. McDuffie. Hell.
Well, hey, I didn't do what Hartline did. They ran them deep routes, man. I just ate the middle.
O.J. McDuffie, follow his podcast as well, The Fish Tank. You could check them out on Twitter, The Fish Tank 81 on Twitter. He does a great podcast with Seth Levitt, a friend of ours. So thank you for making time for us, O.J.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Always enjoy talking with him, man. It is always fun. It's just fun, you know?
Yeah.
And I know he likes coming on, too, because we just kind of go around and it was like, all right, now we got to talk a little Dolphins after we covered
Juice
the fun
is awesome,
stuff.
Man. The personalities, bro.
We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Radio.com.
Crowder's going to be out at Twin Peaks in Pembroke Pines tomorrow. Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Channing will be there, and you can enjoy some whiskey specials all night. Going to be plenty of cool giveaways as well. That is Twin Peaks in Pembroke Pines.
Yeah, we do a whole lot. I get on the microphone. I have to yell and scream at people. We give out. We have raffle tickets. We have prizes. Man, it's a good time. And it's Twin Peaks.
I was going to say, it's always a good time at Twin Peaks. And then you throw Crowder and Game 4 into the mix, and you can't miss.
Yes, because there's some wonderful workers there.
Yes, there are.
I'm speaking of the chefs.
Of course. what do you think we were speaking of? Marlins are playing right now. They've got the afternoon game. A lot of people worried that our new producer, Alejandro Solana, wouldn't know the rules of this show, but he does. He knows that if the Marlins score a run, he fires off the song Baby Shark, and if the Marlins turn a triple play, that's the only defensive...
triple play?
Yeah, triple play, then he would fire off Baby Shark. And that's just
our
auditory clue to you that the Marlins have done something good, and really for me and Crowder as well. We've got the game up on the monitor here, but we don't want you to switch radio stations and listen to it, and we don't want you to have to wonder what's going on with the Marlins. So if the Marlins do anything good, and they've done a lot of good lately, we'll let you know just whatever we're doing. Doesn't matter if we're in the middle of an interview, doesn't matter if we're in the middle of a live commercial. If the Marlins score or turn a triple play, Solana will fire off Baby Shark, and then we'll all pay attention and figure out what's going on. They're losing, by the way, the Brewers 3-0 right now, so nothing exciting going on there. By the way, speaking of Baby Shark, Nickelodeon has announced they are creating a Baby Shark TV show.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Baby Shark is coming to the small screen. Nickelodeon has announced they are partnering with Pinkfong, the brand behind Baby Shark, to produce an animated series based on the song. The song became a phenomenon after a music video was posted to YouTube. 2.9 billion views on YouTube, that particular video. It's the 9th most watched video on YouTube.
It's going to be like... A shark, Family Matters?
Yep.
That's baby shark, mommy shark, yeah. Daddy shark, grandpa shark.
There you go. That's the family of sharks.
Oh, like the Teletubby, a shark Teletubbies.
But you almost did the. Oh, I guess so. That's, grandpa shark. Looks like he has the white mustache and white eyebrows, and grandma shark. And I'm guessing that's baby shark, the little shark. I don't know. Did I just say that?
I'm guessing that's baby shark in the middle. I'm perplexed.
And I'm pointing to it like a telestrator. I have an audience of one, Crowder. I'm like, as you can see here, there's the white mustache. That would connote Grandpa Shark. And obviously over here, the glasses would connote Grandma Shark. And I'm going to assume here, whoop, bam, pow, baby shark.
The little shark. Ass yellow one in the middle. The tiniest damn shark on the screen. Yes. Yes.
Funny, man.
I hope my kids don't get a hold of it.
Did you see a couple of people texting in after we talked with OJ there? And I said, you know, who's going to be the starting quarterback? He said Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I believe right now it's going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick. Did you see the no-look pass that he made yesterday?
Yes.
Dude made a Patrick Mahomes no-look pass. Who was it to? Devontae?
Devontae dropped it right on the sideline.
Holy
double foot, double toe tap,
moly.
Falling out of bounds. It looked
pretty. I mean, come on. I mean, is it possible that there's going to be a Ryan Fitzpatrick to Devontae Parker combination that reminds us of Marino to Mark Duper?
No.
Not that, of course. That's ridiculous.
Put it back a little bit. Yeah,
throttle it back there.
Henny to Marshall. Give you Henny to Marshall.
You saw what Beasley wrote in the Miami Herald today.
What did he write?
He said, why this year could really be different for Dolphins receiver Devontae Parker. He says he was the most open receiver this spring, and him and Fitzpatrick linked up a bunch.
I do say this. I really do believe this. Certain receivers end up having some sort of chemistry with certain quarterbacks.
Oh, for sure.
Unexplainable. You could have the same receiver on the same team, and he's a go-to guy, and he's always there. Like, even, I think, trying to think, like, Kenny Stills.
With New Orleans was okay. He's way better with the Dolphins.
Tannehill loved him.
Yes.
Right?
Kenny Stills was way better with Kenny Stills.
Were Jarvis's numbers better with Tannehill than Cutler?
I don't know. You got to look into it. But I know Kenny upped his stock with the Dolphins over Drew Brees in New Orleans.
Absolutely.
But he was a lower option as well. He was a fourth or fifth option.
No, there were a couple things, obviously. Yeah, yeah. But they're also like, sometimes you could be a fourth option and a quarterback just has that chemistry with you. And maybe Devontae has not found a quarterback for whatever reason that has chemistry with him. It would have either been Tannehill or Cutler, right? Yeah. I don't think he played with any others.
We've talked about it before. Fitzpatrick and Mike Evans had a hell of a connection.
Yes.
And Devontae is not Mike Evans. I can't even get into that before saying he's not Mike Evans. He's built like Mike Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Tall, not a blazer, rangy, big catch radius.
Evans will fight for a ball, though.
Yeah, Devontae. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's not Mike, but the same style of player where Fitzpatrick, there's a lot of quarterbacks. When a play continues, when you get into that third and fourth second of a play, there's quarterbacks that look for a short route just to get rid of the ball. But as you get 4 and 5 seconds into a play, there's somebody deep as hell down the field. Fitzpatrick looks deep when a play extends. A lot of quarterbacks look low. Tannehill was a drop-down guy.
Just get it to the closest dude and get the ball out of my hands.
We call them check-down Charlies.
Yeah.
You'll be evaluating the quarterback during the week, and they'll be like, hey, if the play gets – they call it elongated. If the play gets elongated, this guy's a check-down Charlie. He's not looking deep. He's looking to get the ball out of his hand. And that's what Fitzpatrick is not. The longer the play, Fitzpatrick knows that in every route tree, they call it. Every play has a route tree. There's a deep route in every route tree. Somebody's going to be 40 yards down the field. Fitzpatrick's going to find him. If Devontae can go up and beat people in man-to-man, one-on-one jump balls, Devontae's going to eat.
Especially because just based on his history, he's not going to get double teamed. So
no.
He's going to have man coverage.
And I don't trust him. And that's why I know he's going to get man-to-man. Devontae could eat, but I don't believe he's going to eat.
Right, because you've said it a million times. When you're in the defense, defensive coordinator is going to come in, whoever the opponent is, they're going to say, hey, it's Randy Moss. We got to stop Randy Moss. If we can stop Randy Moss, we've got a chance of beating these guys. So we're going to have to double Randy Moss. You had the audible call of Moss or whatever it was. But no one is looking at a Dolphins game. I don't care how good Devontae Parker looks in preseason and OTAs and mandatory workouts. There's not a defensive coordinator in this league that's going to look at Dolphins tape, gather the defense together, and say, what we got to do is stop Devontae Parker. They're going to let you go man on him. And now if he ends up beating you, you may have to adjust to it. But like you say, if there's something there, he's going to have an opportunity.
Devontae's receiver number 11. When you play Tom Brady, you say Brady. Like they say, hey, this is right. Brady at quarterback.
That dude's 11.
Yes, he's number 11 right now still. I'll call myself out. I was number 52. They didn't say, hey, Zach Thomas, Jason Taylor, Junior Seau, those guys were named. And they have this rookie number 52. You have to understand it. Devontae hasn't. He hasn't done enough in this league to make the defending DC or the opposing DC, the opposing defenders, say his name. And I know it sounds bad, but it's true. Because you play game after game after game, everybody just becomes dots. But then you have a Moss or a Marshawn Lynch or one of those guys in their prime. You have to give them their respect. LaDainian Tomlinson, I tell a story about him where it was one of the only names Zach Thomas ever told to me was when we went and played LT in 2006 in San Diego, and Zach looked down the bench and said, bro, 2-1 can play. And I was like, hey, okay, whatever. And then he hit me in my chest so hard on the first time he got the ball, I said, oh, okay, ZT, I see what you're talking about.
I got you.
Devontae's not on that level. He has the ability. Oh, you know what? I got to lie. I can't lie and say he has it. I haven't seen it. He has the size. He has the strength. He has the body type to be that guy, but he's not that guy yet.
We're going to talk some Dolphins today. We're also going to talk NBA Finals. Brian Geltzeiler, the Hoops Critic, is going to join us. And we've got a very cool giveaway today as well. We've got $50 at Tucker Duke's Lunchbox, one of my favorite places. When will we give that away? Who knows? Maybe next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.